It's Here and Now. The pipe organ dates back to 1st century ancient Greece. It's complicated. The largest ever built has more than 33,000 pipes. Players use their feet to press pedals, their hands pull stops and play keys. They're bound to the instrument, mostly in church. And 35-year-old organist Cameron Carpenter wants them to break free.
If there's anything that is a better symbol, I guess, for how music can be both paradoxically a great freedom and at the same time a sometimes almost oppressive system of methodologies and academic dictates, it's the organ and organ playing.
Carpenter is a bit of an outlier in the organ world. He's young, atheist, part of his head is shaved, he wears crystals on his playing shoes. He's radically inclusive, he says, in his sexuality. He works out because he says people shouldn't pay to watch a pudgy person perform, but also because he needs strength to match his outsized musical ability. Oh, and that pipe organ you're hearing? It's not. It's a digital organ, which can still fill a 90-foot stage. It's called the International Touring Organ, ITO, which Carpenter helped create. It's fair to say he's obsessed with organ design. In one exchange, he said this.
And this is, I'm glad that you bring that up. It's your own funeral because you just opened a really big can of worms. But I'll try to keep it brief for you. Basically,
and this?
The source of energy that's producing our ability as organists to create sound originates from without the human body. It's from outside. Now, today, that source of energy is electrical, generally. In the time of Bach, it would have been from someone pumping the organ, but the principle remains the same.
And this?
The gateway of the key, which you can think of as data entry, and then the gateway of the stop, which can also be thought of as kind of opening a field of data.
A few minutes later, we're still listening, slack-jawed.
Which means that the total number of musical combinations that the organ could generate would be 4 times 3, which is 12, times 2, which is 24, times 1, which is 24. So suddenly we've
Cameron Carpenter is like an organ. He's a force of nature.
Which is, of course, the real origin of the organ.
You know, it was my funeral, but that was fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
We met up at Boston Symphony Hall, where he's performing with the orchestra and conductor Brommel Tovey. And Cameron's perhaps the only person who's ever said he's unfortunately going to play the BSO's gorgeous 4800 pipe organ. He'd prefer his digital touring organ.
Of course. I mean, the organ is not about the method of tone generation. The organ is an extension of the brain. So the idea that the organ brings something mystical to the table has to be put to the sword. It's time to debunk that.
Do you mind if we move down a little bit just in case lightning strikes you and we don't get hit too? Because you know what you're saying is heresy.
Well, heresy is not my department, but neither is established ideas that other people have. I'm not interested in that.
Talk about, you know, the sense of you. You're considered sort of the Liberace of the organ world, flamboyant, personality, character-driven along with your extraordinary talent. You don't mind that, but there are some in the field who are like, well, wait a second, you know, we're supposed to be the staid but maybe almost sacred. This is a sacred thing, playing the organ, and it's usually played in church. And, you know, there's this sense of it as a It's going to be done this way, and you're rocking. You're a disruptor a little bit.
Perhaps, but I mean that's all secondary. I mean, I'm no more interested in disrupting the organ world than anything that might occur to me.
It's just
happening. What would disrupting the organ world achieve for anyone? but it's an instrument that exists for human expression, and it is the unalienable right of anyone who plays it well and honestly to develop their own vocabulary and to be free of the judgments of others. And I think that's an indisputable truth.
It's almost as if you're saying very lovingly to many in the organ community, you know, bust out a little.
In a way, I suppose I am, except that that shouldn't have to be said in the first place. And also that they can't bust out. You know, you mentioned the sacredness of the organ, and in many people's eyes, of course, the organ is indivisible from the church. That's, of course, a great testament to the success of religious propaganda in a lot of ways, particularly the degree to which religious propaganda always has bent the arts toward its message, the application of, you know, whether it's Bernini, Michelangelo, Jess Bach, in the case of Bach, Bach, of course, was an all-too-willing collaborator in the religious message. But that doesn't stop him from giving us great art. People tend to think of organists as being religious, and organists like me, who are atheists, are, I think, much more frequently encountered than you might think, but tend not to be so outspoken because I enjoy being outspoken, and also because I have the platform. I don't work for a church, don't relish the idea, but the fact is that I actually have a real, I guess, if not empathy, at least sympathy for church organist, and I consider them my brothers and sisters in arms of a sort. I was an unhappy church organist for some years, and it's a very hard row to hoe. Organists, I think, work proportionately probably harder and longer hours than any other professional musician, and they are disproportionately badly paid. So the organ and the organist's plight have endemic issues that have to be addressed if a creative future for the organist is to be ensured, and those are inseparable from cultural change.
Well, we certainly have examined that. Let's talk about what you hope to do, or what you are doing with the organ. I mean, taking it to audiences that may never have heard it, and playing music. Let's talk about the piece that you're going to be playing here, playing Samuel Barber's Toccata Festiva, Elgar, there's an Enigma variations, and a work that was written for you at the Royal Majestic by composer Terry Riley. First of all, a piece written for you. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's still just a piece of music that has to be understood and dealt with. I don't have any great sentimental attachment to it, and I don't play much new music, so for me it's a big departure. So to have a piece written for me was really an incredible experience and sort of a fraught experience sometimes. But, I mean, with Terry, the thing is that Terry Riley is just the soul of love, sort of. The guy is, you'll never meet a warmer, sweeter, more open person. And so he's a good contrast to me.
It's interesting. You say you're not interested in contemporary music.
In general, no. I don't find that it the great body of contemporary music generally fails to hold my interest.
But this?
Well, this is extremely challenging to play. So speaking as a player, it certainly. I mean, you have to stay on every beat. I count more and do more math in playing this piece than in anything else I play.
See your life going? Where do you see your playing going, your career going? You're so young.
Oh, thank you. Please keep telling me that and everyone else. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've of course always embraced skepticism. And part of the reason I feel justified in doing that is because I'm so actually in very skeptical of myself and my own at least potential. If I have a contribution to make to the world, I certainly hope it's a musical one, but I actually think that it will be in the realm of organ design, because one of the natural doors that is created industrially and through the application of emerging technologies to this centuries-long practice of organ building is the rise not just of the digital organ as a cheap plug-in device, which it has been for most of its life, but to reach the point where it bellies up to the bar of proving itself in a musical sense and in the great historical traditional sense. And if you ask me what I would hope to do for the organ in the future, that would be it. Classical music is absolutely wonderful, and the organ's a wonderful instrument, but it's not the kind of thing you want to spend all day with either, or necessarily a whole lifetime. And the idea that I would play the organ my whole life is totally a great idea to me and very probable, but at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if things went a different direction too at some point. I'm open to that.
Yes, pure imagination, Willy Wonka, from organist Cameron Carpenter. For more on his concerts there today and this weekend, and his upcoming tour with his international touring organ, go to hereandnow.org.